Hello everyone and welcome. My name is Terry and I thank you for taking the time and interest in our conversation and the information that will be shared. Our conversations are offered through my website, vibrationsofthesoul.com, as a resource for personal learning, healing, and a goal to better understand spiritual awakening and the planetary ascension cycle that is currently underway. Clearly, we are in times of great change impacting our relationship we have with ourselves, with others, and with our planet. The issue is many people do not have a context for what is occurring as this frequency shift is affecting everything. These can be challenging times resulting in confusion, sadness, feelings of disconnection, and loneliness. When we talk about ascension or spiritual awakening, we can experience this as a multidimensional shift within our consciousness into higher states of self-awareness. This perceptual shift can include increased awareness of energy in our environment, sensing extra-dimensional entities, and feeling the interconnected energy between all things. Some of us are actively participating with this cycle of change consciously, while others are just becoming aware that something is very different as their day-to-day observations and interactions with the world just no longer make sense. It is time to open our eyes, to look around, and to be honest about what we see as the global reflection and then within our own lives, keeping people fixated on meaningless dramas, deceptive narratives, debt slavery, divide and conquer strategies, fear and survival is the name of the game. Through our conversations, we offer an opportunity to learn from many others who are walking through this ascension cycle with a conscious participation as they offer to share their direct and personal experiences with us through a dialogue and exchange on various subjects. I always ask you to keep an open mind, being receptive to new ideas, knowledge, and being adaptable to change. When we are open-minded, we know that others should be free to express their views and that the value of others' knowledge should be recognized. Keeping an open and flexible mind is important to keep one's heart open. Remember, an open mind equals an open heart. In opening our field of intention here today, we command this space as sovereign and free within the living light, the law of one, through our crystal star guardian teams and aurora hosts, in which we are learning to take complete ownership of our personal energies through unity consciousness, compassionate witnessing, loving self and others, loving the earth and nature, responsible co-creation, and consciousness expansion. Well, today, my guest is Caitlin, and this is part two of her interview. So thank you for being here again today, Caitlin.
It's so great to be here with you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's our intention, of course, to just have an ongoing open conversation, sharing the direct experiences. So I'm really excited to have you back here again with us, Caitlin. I know in part one, you shared a bit about yourself. We've known each other now for 8 years and connected at a time where you were going through a very intense spiritual awakening, a major dismantle in your life, which started when your father passed away in 2017. So for those of you that didn't listen to Caitlin's part one, if you feel resonant, it's a very heartfelt journey that Caitlin has been on and continues to walk through. So today we're going to pick up where we left off, and we're going to discuss what you're doing now and your deeper dive into the world of forces and your personal self-awareness. And so Caitlin, let us begin with where you are right now.
I am a continual work in progress. I'm seeing more of what is operating around me in regards to the world of forces. Each day more is revealed. And on my journey, I find that I am more in my heart. I'm still, I can hold neutral better and be a witness to my day-to-day experiences and memory recalls that happen.
Yes. Well, thank you very much. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today because we are going to take a bit of a deeper dive into your level of perception and awareness and how it relates to the world of forces. So thank you again, for wanting to share this part of your life with everyone who is listening here today. So perhaps we can begin with your move across the country, which is also an ongoing unfoldment and part of your ever-growing awakening.
It sure is. In part one, we touched on two catalyzing events of my awakening, or as I had described it, it was like the darkest of the dark nights of the soul. But there really was three events. It was a trifecta. The third was my move across the country.
And you're talking from Colorado
To
to
North
North
Carolina,
Carolina.
correct, yeah. It felt as though I was literally being extracted from Colorado, from a false timeline. A massive internal perceptual shift happened while this move was happening, and it brought about a life review through the process. This was a move in honoring my heart and soul in ways I had never done before, and I knew it was now or never. With the inner light of my heart and soul and direct connection to God's source and the guardians, the world of forces became amplified during the move as my direct experience and awareness became clearer. Every turn, there was an energetic explosion.
I remember well.
The first week in my new home, the living room flooded, leaks in the kitchen, kitchen sink, master bath, the mitigation of my ventilation system. It felt like everywhere I turned, there were universal fines, such as my transmission on my car. I had insurance policy issues, like out of the blue, on my home that I was selling in Colorado. Not to mention all the shenanigans that happened to sell my house there. And people would be one way one minute and different the next, like as if they were portaled
Yeah, your house would go into escrow and out of escrow. Or,
escrow now.
right, it's gonna be sold, there's an offer, and then the offer's taken away.
Oh my gosh. I also started a new job when I got here, like right away within the first few days. And I work at a functional medicine clinic where we offer bioresonance, IV, and ozone therapies. And that in itself was a journey because of the last several years of the pandemic. I see people who are injured from the jabs. They walk through the door every day, from children of every age to older. And it was very energetically taxing, like it still is to this day, to witness the waves that come through.
Very, very hard too. And again, that's can be a whole other level of discussion and podcast.
It really could. To really break that down. I had prepared for the move to the best of my ability, and starting in February of 2022, it really came down to my willingness to walk through what it was at that time. Because even though I had a game plan, God's source also had a game plan. And I was willing to do the deeper dive within, and through this journey, it was looking at my negative ego that was enmeshed in so much of my life, my thought processes, my beliefs, the patterns.
Attachments to outcomes.
Oh my gosh, that's a big one. Being loving with boundaries.
Yes.
And working on my shadow body clearing.
Yeah. Crisis of faith.
Yes.
It's blindfolded, and the only thing you can do is let go and keep moving forward. Go within, take a few deep breaths along the way, inches, one step at a
One
time.
step at a time.
Yeah, very much so. Well, you talked about negative ego clearing and the shadow work, and I really think that that's the foundation for self-awareness and personal growth. And I thought I'd take a moment just to define negative ego and negative ego clearing, because Also, this was part of our ongoing work that we've done together through session work as well.
Right, because it can be thrown around, and it's like when you hear that, you know, what does that actually mean? So that would be very helpful.
And are you willing to do it?
That's another question.
And that's another podcast completely, which we will get to.
Yes.
But defining negative ego, think of it as a service to self-orientation. It's where actions are taken to consume others' energy, resources, time. And it's accompanied by low ethical standards and low moral character. We can also call this the consumptive behavior or energetic vampirism. And the negative ego has an overwhelming sense of entitlement and the centrality of the me. It's all about me, the personal identity. And when we have people operating from this level of negative ego, certainly this is a person that is, perhaps we would say, not a safe person, maybe a person that can't be fully trusted because they're always looking to manipulate circumstances, which is service to themselves as their primary or only concern.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think we can relate to holding those patterns as well, right? Because we always have that fear of survival that's underlying it too.
Yeah, that it's absolutely enmeshed in. And you can't be on this planet without having that or having that to clear.
Yeah, that's right.
But to deny it is it's very common as well.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
It didn't work. Doesn't work. So defining negative ego clearing is developing a self-awareness, building an understanding of how we are leveraged by the hidden pain and trauma, our false identities, our blind spots, our old storylines that continually get triggered when being extracted from them. I mean, it's really about looking at our own BS.
Yes.
Getting clear with that. Because in further, you know, a lot of times we're often confused in looking at this further with negative ego clearing and the definition of negative ego. But if you look at human behavior, we're often times confused by what we perceive incorrectly through our own need to be okay through
self-justification.
Right. And we formulate these distortions of thought and patterns of behavior as ego defense mechanisms because we've not learned how to free the mind through the deeper levels of self-inquiry. But as we learn to free our mind and to love ourselves unconditionally, we know that we really are okay without needing to self-justify. Because when we're free of our own need to self-justify, it's by increasing our inner self-approval and self-love no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what situation we're in. Then when we do this, we do not need to justify ourselves or others. So we're then free to be capable of unconditionally loving others no matter what they may be choosing to do in that moment, because it is what it is in the moment. And one has no control over others, nor what others may think about them. It's really about letting go and mm-hmm. being self-sovereign and self-sourcing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. The direct experience of walking through and the tools such as what you just shared, this negative ego clearing, has been it's been fundamental. And no matter where we are in life, what I have found is the fundamentals don't change. You know, I use other tools as well that are really supportive during this process, during these clearings, such as prayer, journaling, meditation, and then, you know, the work that we've done together over the years was multidimensional hypnosis and the HG energetic sessions, you know. And yeah. Then each day, applying something simple as applying breath and self-forgiveness. That's been a big one because yeah. It's been really foreign to me on my journey. It's what broke me free, and it's allowing a deeper understanding of the world around me. And through this move, the three catalyzing events, a veil was lifted.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
yes, it was.
And And, you know, saying this, you know, we don't know what we don't know until we know it. But what I've come to find is the superpower that we all hold in our hearts is choice, and it's the power to choose.
This is so, and it is the inner work that creates the greater levels of self-awareness and personal freedom, along with the ability to explore the multidimensional worlds of forces at play and really awaken from our slumber so we can get a clearer discernment about what is actually going on down here on planet Earth.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I went deeper down the rabbit hole per se. It was critical for my own life to be willing to look at the shadow, the ego, the unseen multidimensional world of forces. My direct experiences shows me there is light and dark forces. And in the move across the country, it showed me how the darkness was being leveraged against me throughout my life. These days, I witness a lot of spiritual bypassing. I think many can relate to that, witnessing that.
Yes, yes, of course.
It's where people don't want to focus on the negative. I even tried it, and it didn't work because of what was already operating, the trauma that was embedded in the nervous system, and the false white light with no discernment muscle to be had. The harm that is done when this is not being addressed, it's, you know, it's the art of war. We end up doing it to ourselves. The dark is so organized and has their shit together. The spiritual light working communities are a mess, to be quite frank.
Yeah, I agree.
The majority of people aren't even in their bodies, and all of the knowledge, experiences, memories don't mean anything if we are not grounded here, embodied here. It's clearing out, transmuting the dark within to embody more light in physical form.
Well said, Caitlin. I mean, it's my mantra, right? Boots mm-hmm. on the ground right here, present moment awareness, and being able to, once you can filter through some of the negative ego overlays, the fear of survival, and, you know, everything else that we run, that we believe is really us that is not, once we can really see the bigger picture, the whole picture, and valuing truth no matter what, it is essential. It is essential, and it's so sacred when you're taking this journey. It doesn't feel that way at the time when you're extracting and going through a lot of emotional pain and trauma from the hurts and the wounds as that's coming up to be expressed. But as you continue to walk through that and clear those patterns, clear that energy, that miasma, those overlays, the false identities, and you start to really see the bigger picture of who you are, why you're here, what's really happening. You also then step into valuing truth, and you want to see more, you want to learn more. Mm-hmm. And you come into a sacredness within your own heart, within your own being, mm-hmm. right? Because you're no longer running those programs or patterns from the negative ego. And it's a work in progress, negative ego, but when you can get those bigger overlays off and you can begin to interface with your own divine self and go within, life starts to change. Consciousness and perception really starts to change, and the value of truth, seeing whatever, no matter what, and that means looking at yourself, no matter what.
No matter what. That is, it's really important, because even when we speak of truth, you could replace that with love. And in this day and age where there's so much chaos and, you know, it's like splitter tech in the minds, the mind control, as well as the disinformation to trying to keep people spinning so they don't figure it out.
Yes.
It's so critical to invite the truth, to value it in order for it to be part of your life.
Yeah. And valuing kindness, valuing love. Yeah, it's
something as simple as that. Absolutely. That can you bring you, like you said, boots on the ground in that moment of how do we navigate that? Just choose by choosing.
Choose every day.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you for all of that. Appreciate it. It's been remarkable too, and a lot of it's been very interesting as we go further into your unfolding journey here in walking with you. And I've said that in part one, but what we're about to share, and as we go further down the rabbit hole with Caitlin, walking with her on this journey has really been quite amazing. And again, I want to thank you, Caitlin, truly, for allowing me to be part of this experience, because not only do you learn and grow, but I do too. And the value, and I think the connection that we have, I'm so grateful and so appreciative, you know.
I'm so grateful too. You know, I've learned so much since you've come into my life, and I'm so grateful. It was such a divine connection, and how we've earned each other's trust and continue to do so. Like, I have a continual prayer to be a safe person for everyone, you know, and that's what keeps us going, and that love and that kindness and the respect and having really real and raw conversations.
Absolutely.
I know when we say valuing truth, but you also have to be ready for what that reveals, because
absolutely,
for me, like, it in many ways dismantled my life. But it was all the, like, the house.
You mean the ego.
The ego.
The negative ego, yes. Constructs and programs.
Yes, thank you for that clarification. It, like, because it was anything that was built on a house of cards was not going to be ready.
Right.
But the ego, and I'll tell you what, my ego could justify. It's still justifying.
Self-justification.
If I let it. It won't stop until I stop it.
That's
like,
right.
I separate from it. And
choosing.
I defer it. I defer my authority and my negative ego to be in service to God's source for my highest expression.
Absolutely.
And anyone can find their own prayers within that. But I found that really helpful, because it's massive.
Yes, it is.
It's micro.
The deconstruction of the false persona based from negative ego, when you're just this beautiful, loving being, eternal, sitting in a body.
This God body technology.
Right.
Yeah, no, because it starts not only at an individual, personal, micro level, but this is also a macro operation and network.
Yeah, too. Absolutely.
And
well
it feeds
said.
Off of each other.
Yeah, yeah, well said. Well, how about we go ahead and let's move forward. Just going a little deeper down the rabbit hole now. Let's move forward discussing your understanding of the world of forces, the UFO and experiencer phenomenon.
Yeah, I'm able to see things in yet a different way. When the energies in my life started to support my move, there was greater awareness within me that was being revealed. I became aware of my direct experiences with the abduction phenomenon, particularly the breeding program.
Yeah, and if I may, I'd just like to take a moment to define negative alien agenda as we go further in talking with Caitlin about the breeding programs. But
because we had kind of just touched on the
malevolent
and benevolent,
right.
You know, and this helps to clarify.
Yeah, absolutely. So this comes from the ascensionglossary.com. This is Lisa Renee's work. The negative alien agenda, or NAA, is to force the planet to serve another multiple species controller agenda through imposing false replicated time fields using biowarfare technology, such as holographic inserts, AI, and mind control, namely created under genetically reptilian-based archons, extraterrestrials, at the expense of life force of the human race and the kingdoms under human domain. These are extra-dimensional and interdimensional beings that have lost their consciousness connection to God's source, and are utilizing humans and other beings as their food source, meaning they siphon life force like a parasite to live thousands of years. They do not have access to incarnate into human bodies, so they covet the human bodies and they want to take them over or to use them in the future. They have no feelings of remorse and no caring toward human beings, and these beings have been manipulating the human world of affairs for thousands and thousands of years. And I know, look, this is a really big subject and, again, can be further addressed in another podcast. But really understanding for all of you who are listening to do your own research, come to your own conclusions, you know, about what is being shared here today. So let's continue, Caitlin. Let's have you continue sharing your experiences.
Yeah, our regression work is what led me to becoming a hypnotherapist myself. The regression work has changed my life at the core level. The beautiful thing is we can simultaneously work multidimensionally with this beautiful tool in our toolbox. Back in February of 2022, you and I were visiting with Mary Rodwell. She's a former nurse and midwife and a counselor, and now is her own. She has her own private practice as a hypnotherapist for experiencers. During our time with Mary, she was explaining about the surge in the late 90s, early 2000s, about this phenomenon called the missing pregnancy syndrome. You know, and it is a phenomenon of women who believe they have been pregnant, experiencing all the physical signs, but then discovered their pregnancy had disappeared after a few weeks or months. This does initially suggest a normal miscarriage, but many women who experience this phenomenon often feel this explanation doesn't fit into what they have experienced directly, like at the cellular level of their being.
It's following the miscarriage, many will say they experience disturbing dreams, flashbacks, very emotional, cannot understand why they feel the way they feel. They feel something out of the ordinary has happened. And sometimes women would feel that they've been pregnant numerous times with the same thing happening to them over and over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, when Mary shared this with us, at that very moment, pieces of my life from 15 years ago that haunted me to this day, all of a sudden came to surface. I had carried with me fractured memories, missing time, no answers to experiences. I was questioning my sanity, my direct experiences. You know, all of a sudden, had a name. And every part of my being was vibrating as Mary was sharing this. And I about fell out of my chair.
I remember that. I watched you.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a serious conversation and something we want the listeners to take into account, because I watched you during that time with Mary. I remember seeing your eyes, they opened so wide. You froze, and at the same time you were freezing, you were getting bigger and bigger, like energetically. And it was like a sensory body experience. Your everything, your whole physiology and body language changed in front of me. And it was where you were remembering. You remembered something. Mm-hmm. And you can read further in Mary's book called Awaken. There's also a great documentary with Mary and her son on YouTube and Rumble called My Mom Talks to Aliens. And we love Mary and we're so grateful for her contribution to the work of abductions and missing pregnancy syndromes that are connected to this hybridized breeding program. But I remember that, Caitlin. I mean, watching you go through that activation of remembrance was very, very powerful.
Yeah, yeah. This training with Mary was profound, and it led to my first regression with you, where I was going within to look at this direct experience of my life.
Yeah.
I knew in my heart it was the right time to go face this part of my journey. And it was a part of my journey that was very dark and very painful.
Yeah, and this was happening simultaneously around you. The time you were beginning to prepare for your move from Colorado to North Carolina. And all of this launched an even deeper dive into your own self-discovery and the nature of multidimensional reality. It's when this knowledge about the hybrid breeding program comes into your conscious awareness, which includes the missing pregnancy syndromes, memories of being abducted, and there were so many things happening to you all at once. On every level.
On every level, yeah.
Yeah.
The energies alone, preparing for the move, unearthed every aspect of my life at all stations of identity. You know, it was multidimensional.
Yeah.
Through the regressions, it showed me I was part of a faction of the breeding program. It runs through my entire lineage, actually. and how it all ties into genetics and the genetic library Earth holds. There was nothing benevolent about this. Yeah. Anything that takes your consent without full disclosure, no, never. Okay. You know, I just in my heart, I know a benevolent never superimposes, and they have to be invited in by one's sacred crystal heart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that first regression was pivotal, and I would like to make a point that through our work together, Kaylin and I, well, we knew each other, so there was a level of safety and trust, but Kaylin had connected other pieces prior to even doing this regression. She had some missing time, some strange dreams. There were certain behaviors, and then the sensory experience with Mary. She knew something was there in her past without resolve. So for anyone looking to do this type of regression work, it's not something to just go and explore. If you really have a pattern or some level of awareness before you attempt to dig into this, because usually it's that missing time or that piece that actually leads to a more valuable regression, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And really contemplate your desire to even want to do this, whether you have knowledge of it or you don't. You know, it's because you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
No.
And it opens up a whole lot of questions about life and reality and God, and it goes on and on and on.
It does. Safety first.
Absolutely.
I have a built-in mechanism that's been with me my whole life of respecting what I don't know, especially when it comes to the world of forces. You know, I was shown, guided into this first regression. It was time for my consciousness to come home. These pieces of it. There is such thing as divine right timing and divine right order. After this first regression, I didn't move for another 4 hours because of the information. It was like a timeline of memories came flooding back, and I just kept journaling nonstop. You know, the dots connected themselves, and it continued for days at an amplified level.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah, you know, I had even put together that during this time of my life, I realized how the suicidal ideations that I was having at the time, that they were all coming from this non-human world of force.
At the time you were having those experiences, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they really used relationships to do this. And it was like a kill switch in a weird way.
Yeah.
It's in the programming. It's... Yeah.
You know, I just want to say a thought about that, because when we first met, It was also firing then too. Remember that?
It has. Yeah, it would show up. And of course, it's all around relationships.
Absolutely.
That when it would show up in my life. Because when this particular memory that I'm talking about, that this regression was around, was the first time this it came full force.
Yeah.
I remember going to anyone who would listen, playing college sports. I even went to my coach and said, I need help. Yeah. I don't know what's happening. Yeah. Without saying too much. Because I really didn't. I actually didn't know.
You could. There was no words to... Because you didn't know. It was still...
Yeah, there was
hidden,
no...
But you knew something was happening. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I make my prayers for the highest expression and to be on a need-to-know basis with this stuff. It's not something I would go looking for. I know this can be a controversial and triggering topic.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
But what I went face to face with was not love, light, and positive. It was the negative alien agenda. Yes, there are positive experiences, but with things like the false artificial light, like I realize it will try to come in during these regressions, try to come into my memories or dream state. For example, you know, they show up as
famous figures.
Yeah. Or sometimes they'll use your family members or loved ones too, but they can be someone famous too. But when that would happen, I would command my space. And this is something that you really introduced to my life. through, and I'm so grateful for energetic synthesis for this too, and the right to know, but so I was commanding my space, and the right to know the truth and cosmic sovereign law. And I went deeper within. And to come to find out, that figure, that famous figure or whatever, it was in fact a shape-shifting drac portraying itself as such, telling me they owned me. You know, the dark evolves based on our awareness of it.
Yeah, they can grow with us.
Yeah.
Evolve with us. Yeah. Projecting in.
To
where your level of awareness is.
Yep. And if we're too quick to get an answer, that like pulse of like, I have to know now or why, it can derail us to whatever shows up first instead of holding. And when you're talking about boots on the ground and taking that next step, once you take the step and hold, it is revealed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I want to clarify something about the regression work, because we were talking about figures coming in. And I think that in all of our work, you journaled first.
I did. Yeah.
You took time to write and mm-hmm. to journal before we even went into regression work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was quite valuable, right? Because your conscious mind, if you sit there and ask and you mm-hmm. are willing to be patient enough to allow the subconscious to bring it up to the conscious mind, you're writing some pretty profound information that's relevant,
mm-hmm.
right, to the subject that you're inquiring upon. I mean, maybe you can give a little more thought of that. And how journaling prior to a hypnosis regression was supportive for you.
Yeah, I think it really allowed for that stream of consciousness to open up. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to understand exactly what was coming up, but I just remember just making these notes just to process through it and to see it in yet a different way. It was preparing to, because when we go into these regressions, you're reviewing the experience as your higher
right.
self. You're not reliving it.
Right.
But it doesn't mean you can't have
the emotional sensory
components to it, because that also, and kinesthetic, it can be very healing in the process, but it has started to allow myself to witness.
Right.
And I think it was a way to express that willingness that I am ready.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. I think that's important. Because for anybody listening, and again, I go right to that cautionary
mm-hmm.
approach, please be careful with what you're seeking.
Yeah, slow and steady.
And slow and steady is truly the way to go, so that you can stay grounded and coherent when the information or the knowledge does come to the conscious mind. It can throw you off kilter a little bit, so mm-hmm. you need to be mindful of that. So thank you, Caitlin.
Yeah. You know, we came out of that regression, and I'm sitting there being like, I'm asking myself, did I make this up? Is it a real memory? Because this is not, but truly, this is not anything one would even want to make up, what I just witnessed and how it felt to it in every cell of my being. So the way I moved through the acceptance of this was with the integration, the regression, I knew, like gnosis. No, I knew exactly what the room felt like, who was there, what they looked like. I could tell you what the floor, the walls, the windows, ceilings look like, what they did to me, what they said to me. I couldn't even make it up if I tried. It's like describing your bedroom, you know, where everything is, what the walls, doorknobs, windows, and ceilings look like.
Yeah, it's very real. You knew. So, it was there.
Yeah. So yeah. Questioning that coming through regressions, you know, I feel like is quite normal, and I just feel to... You know, I went through my own demystifying process of that. And
that's right, yeah.
And that's kind of what that looked like for me.
And also actually. Journaling after the regression.
Yeah, yeah.
Was essential for you as well. And for all those that I work with, of course, recommend the same pattern,
mm-hmm.
right? So even journaling afterwards brought a little more coherence, I think, and a little more present acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
With what you had just discovered.
Yeah. And I find that it's something that I'm able to go back to. Because
yes.
even though it was really amplified, I've continued now, you know, through these years. And pieces will still come in. And I can keep adding it to that, those, you know, where the stars connect themselves.
Dots connecting.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, I can just keep adding that uh-huh. and how this all plays out. Because there are moments in time where it all comes together. It's really pivotal, and you can see how it starts to really work, how it's working.
Yeah. Well, you're seeing through the matrix, you're poking holes, and your higher sensory ability, your knowing, your gnosis, that part of you is actually, it's not linear, but it appears linear because you're connecting more dots, but you're really understanding that, yes, this is something that does happen, and it happened to me. It's a knowing. Mm-hmm. And in that knowing, there is an acceptance of it too in time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, once I went through that process and the journaling, you know, there was actually a relief. Mm-hmm. There was a greater healing.
Yeah.
And I felt freed up from
whatever that was, binding, that was hidden.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for that, Caitlin. Appreciate you being so open. Perhaps you can share an example, a part of that first regression that might be significant for you.
Yeah. I witnessed when they would physically take me to remove the fetuses or insert devices.
Now, I want to stop for a moment. When you say they, you talked about the Drac, a reptilian being.
Yeah, these are of dark forces, primarily reptilian and Drac, but there's some human and military mixed into that too, where they were being used for this, working in conjunction with. So yeah, thank you for letting me clarify that. I also witnessed the abductions and monitoring from different stations of identity, meaning a kind of base 12 math, all representing a dimension, dimension or chakra within our, like it's within our, built into our light body.
Right.
But for example, like we hear about the astral, that is the fourth dimension. You know, it takes a lot to physically take someone, and with
meaning abduction,
yeah, and with the technology they utilize, that is light years beyond 3D. So there's no need to always be taken physically.
Right.
But one of the most poignant pieces would be during my second pregnancy. I would wake up at night with a bright light, like a projector, projecting a black fetus on the wall. I played sports in college and traveled a lot, and this would even happen in the hotel room. But I was the only one that would wake up.
Right.
I was being monitored constantly. I'd be drenched in sweat at night. I was isolating myself, which was impacting my friendships and relationship with my teammates. And I felt like I was being tortured. Even the relationship that I was in at the time was falling apart.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how old were you at the time of these miscarriages, of these experiences that we're talking about?
Yeah, what came about this particular regression, I was 19 for the first miscarriage that I had, and then the second one I was 20. So this memory that I just shared, that I was 20 years old at the time.
Right. Okay. And so the young man that you were in a relationship with, that relationship, you were, I think, 18 when that started?
Yeah, this relationship started when I was 18. So, and it was all with the same person.
Oh, all of these?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all of these miscarriages, all of these pregnancies.
Yeah.
So, what we're understanding that he too
was also part of
this. Can you kind of elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah. In this first regression, it confirmed who he was to me. It was our soul connection. And how that was being leveraged for genetic purposes. I share this because there are other ways the World of Forces runs their breeding programs, such as alien love bites or karmic link-ups, which can derail us from our mission purpose here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah.
If I can, I want to define alien love bite. Eve Lorgan, evelorgan.com. She was instrumental in bringing this forward, the alien love bite phenomena, through regression. and hypnotherapy herself with case histories demonstrating how various entities or aliens and interdimensional beings can set up, interfere, disrupt, or even break up interpersonal relationships and love connections. And then another definition that takes it out a little bit further is Lisa Renee from the Ascension Glossary. I mean, just think about this stepping into an even more expanded view, because she's talking about artificial intelligence, a red-cubed AI intelligence that's operating in the world of forces, that's designed to be a genetic code crasher for truly divine loving unions, or to create the interference through an alien love bite scenario that engages that person in very heavy emotional dramas via victim-victimizer archetypes and mistaken identity by keeping the inner and outer gender principles split apart. And she talks about this AI red cube technology, how it operates through us as it capitalizes on painful emotional astral damage and mistaken identity, confusing identities so that the target cannot tell who is who. Who is that are in the false timelines and the imposters versus the authentic identity of a more suitable partner. So the targeted person can mistake this AI digital twin insert into their hologram, right, into their reality as their twin soul or whatever else that can be included to interfere with integrated spiritual ascension by confusing them with mistaken identities. And I've seen people go through this. I have worked with people who've been through this, and this is something you definitely do not want to have participate. Discernment, slow and steady, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to relationships on all levels and with all people.
Right.
Yeah. Trust is earned. Patience.
Trust is earned. And typically this love bite scenario, it's love spells, it's love bombs, it's swirling and twirling thoughts, emotions, and intense pulses, these synchronicities with the other, dreaming of one another before you meet are part of this experience.
Yeah, it's a love spell.
Yep.
Black magic.
Yeah, now the relationship I am talking about at age 19 was soul recognition, right. Not an alien love bite per se. But the relationship I had talked about in part one was actually part of that. And maybe we can touch on that here in a minute. But,
sure.
But they were leveraging us, this relationship when I was 19, for the breeding program. We would see crafts. They would show up. They showed up about 1 year into our relationship. The craft showed up during our relationship, and then 10 years later did the last craft appear to us. And in my regression, I was shown that the last craft was of benevolent, trying to tell us it was over. I would even see the crafts when I was together with his parents, which kind of unpack things symbolically of where we were in the geographical grid location.
Right.
I saw how he was being used for this as well. It was not just with me. He was being used with other women. We did long distance through college and both played sports with little to no time to be together. Summers were really our only consistent time together. And this completely redefined unfaithfulness for me. Once I understood this phenomenon and my direct experience, when all of these memories came flooding back from every part of my being, intimacy is sacred, but when it's leveraged for nefarious purposes, it's hooking in and hooking people up to this dark, very dark network.
Sure is.
This network is massive, it's global, it goes on and off planet, and it's not just a female experience being used in the breeding program, it's also our men being used.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, you talked about the suicide ideation around this time with the unfaithfulness too, right? All around relationships and it, all of that triggers again, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's the only time would that fire off in its insanity.
Yeah.
Until I realized not all thoughts are my own.
There you go.
and I do not consent. Like, I was like, that's a lie.
That's right.
A lie. And I had to continually share that, like, repeat that to command my space to really overcome that.
Yeah.
But seeing it in yet a different way from where I stand now, it's just unbelievable what's operating. And I'm
when you really see,
yeah, I can't be the only one. I actually know I'm not the only one.
Unfortunately, yes, this is a bigger problem, I think, than what is actually, it's a bigger issue than what is actually talked about, because we've worked so closely, we're able to see poking, right?
Yeah.
Dot connecting. But it's taken you years to put this all together, you know?
Correct.
It takes time because you have to first, like, know you're needing to look for it or wanting to figure out, and then to digest it, and then to connect the dots, and then to see the bigger picture.
Yeah.
You're so brave. I just, wow, Caitlin, I know this is, I'm just so grateful you're sharing, because the strength you have to share this, to be vulnerable, to share this, because I know people are going to listen to this who know you and love you. And it's real.
Yeah, I've never shared this publicly before. It's bringing healing, but it's been a work in progress to get to this moment now, to be ready to do this with you.
Yeah.
So thank you for holding the space, and to all the listeners who are listening, and I just pray you take what resonates with you and discard the rest. But it feels, it's part of the healing. I was just willing to walk through what it was, because you have to be ready for what it's going to reveal. But I'll tell you, it's worth it.
Yes.
When you are ready, it is worth it. And miracles do happen.
They do.
It's made my relationship with God's source come first and so much stronger.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, you can learn more about this. There's a documentary called Extraordinary, The Seeding, and it's about the hybridized breeding program. And it's a documentary. So hypnotherapist Yvonne Smith and her clients come forth, just like Caitlin's doing here today, to reveal their experiences with this phenomenon. So thank you again, Caitlin.
Mm-hmm.
For sharing. It's so appreciated.
Thank you for allowing me to share.
So I want to go back and talk a bit more about Colorado, your time there leading up to the move. Perhaps you can share more about the area in which you live, the generational ties, your family dynamics. That's all connected to this subject.
Yeah, this small town, my mother was born and raised in, so the roots run deep. It would make me a fourth generation. It's a very small mining town, and my mother's side of the family were a bunch of miners. I didn't realize how deep the roots were and the attachments and meshments until I was trying to leave.
Yeah, you tried to leave several times throughout your life.
I did. I did. I tried to leave several times and would get launched back.
Yeah.
And with everything happening during my first year here in North Carolina, I almost got launched back four different times. It was so intense, to the point I was tracked here by the network, the entities that monitored me.
It was intense, to say the least, walking through this with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're fourth generation from the maternal side, and that's a very common theme in the breeding programs, as well as the context of the mining in this small town and what was going on underground. Can you share, just expand a bit more?
Yeah, this small town is too small to even be on a map in most cases. If you're familiar with DUMS, the Deep Underground Military Bases, the only time you ever see this town on a map is on these maps in particular, because it's in a main junction point and conveniently close to Dulce. And if anyone wants to learn more about that, you can check out, there's a great book. It's about the Dulce Wars and Thomas Costello's testimony and his direct experience of working in that base. A lot of activity there. To say the least.
In your small town.
Yeah, in this small town.
Mm-hmm.
and in that base. But yeah, particularly yeah. the small town, a lot of overlays, artificial influence. It's really heavy and dark. The entities that they run amok, and I always felt hunted there. And also through my regression work, you know, really came face to face in realizing the experiments that were happening there with the lineages there.
Yeah, you know, watching you go back and forth from North Carolina to Colorado, preparing for your final move. While on those particular grids in Colorado, I witnessed you dramatically shifting. And if you don't mind me sharing, I would watch the looping, the obsessive looping over a thought, the loss of mental coherence. I would see this fear and the anxiety come through you. I would literally have conversations with you, fixating on not wanting to sell the house,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And let go of that dwelling. And at the same time, I'm feeling that chaos of energy, that world of forces just swirling around you. It was intense.
Yeah. For those who may have listened to part one, you'll be aware of the family dynamic. And I held on to this house, hoping and praying one day maybe that my mom and family would come back into my life. I grew up with a large family on my mom's side where we were gathered together all the time. And, you know, the coffee pot was always on at grandma's house, and it was a revolving door of family and friends stopping by. And when the opportunity to buy this house came about and I said yes and I was going to figure out the rest, I had dreamt that my place could be that someday, you know, and it was genuine and yet again leveraged as it created a blind spot to everything else that was happening, I guess, behind the scenes,
yeah.
if you will.
And you were aware of your behavior.
Oh yeah. I could feel
it. You could feel it.
How did I say it? Like I could feel it, and it was so tough because I felt like the shackles, the bindings, the overlays, the net, it was like being hooked up to an you know, electric shock kind of yes. experience where you couldn't break free.
Yes.
But
yes.
you understood, I had enough understanding something was happening.
Yeah.
That was beyond just the everyday. Yeah, when I bought the home, like you said, I was fixated and I said I was never going to sell it. Well, that shit manifestation made it extra challenging when it came to sell. And I can see today how that thought decision was used against me as well.
Hindsight is a gift. Yes. Careful what you ask for. Spoken words are powerful.
Yeah, no, I try to take it and apply it to foresight. But yeah, so when I was on those grids, there was an undertone to it.
Yeah. We had one of our mutual friends. Are you just remembering something else right now in this moment?
Just that undercurrent that was always vibrating there, operating.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we can stay in our 3D narratives.
About why looping, you're feeling looping, something.
But until I was willing to expand my perspective, my experience was more revealed. And I could see how they were leveraging
there's more being revealed to you right now. I'm watching you take your, there's other dots connecting here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a session within itself.
It sure is. Yes.
Moving
yes,
energy.
Yes, it is. A moving energy. Yeah. And by the way, our laughter, I think that is just a way to acknowledge one another and the deep burdens that we hold from the world of forces that are operating. But please know, you know, this is just a way for us, I think, really not think, I know, to relieve some stress, because these are very difficult subjects and very difficult conversations to have, because the person who's revealing this, Caitlin, here today, it's very vulnerable. And she's literally is there anything else that you're connecting up right now that you want to share? Because I'm feeling you feel this.
Yeah, I think it's just the biggest thing of how they utilize our 3D lives, our earthly lives, to keep us stuck, to keep the blinders on from what's also operating, and how they leverage our own family and beyond, and at the multidimensionally different stages of identity.
Because there was so much betrayal.
It was devastating.
Yes.
You know, and we do laugh now. I'm so grateful I can laugh, because there's so much darkness and sadness that it feels so good in the heart and soul to laugh. But like you said, this is a big topic.
Yeah.
But gosh, we can't be so, I can't take myself so seriously. Like, come on.
Right.
Right. So, we're here, like you said, I feel it in every part of my being right now as I'm sharing this, you're witnessing this, and it feels good to just laugh and bring that vibration into all this to bring about further healing and overriding whatever else may known or unknown to me.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is not linear, it's spiral.
It is.
In the way that we connect dots and our consciousness moves about.
It is. I mean, the multidimensional world of forces, the network, the matrix, there were some pretty significant energetic overlays upon you, courting you and binding you.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting how it played out. It was like a blissful consciousness trap, especially if I would get close to try to breaking free. And when I reclaimed that part of my consciousness, I got to see what was really operating. And, you know, it was so dark. I felt tortured every time I went back there.
To Colorado.
Yeah. Well, especially
to
this small town.
To this small town.
Because I lived in other small
towns. That's
correct.
To this small town.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It was like someone or something was trying to fracture, split my consciousness. You and my friends, you know, you witnessed this. And my family and my life would watch this as well. And it was so heavy and conflicting and dark.
And one of our mutual friends went with you to your house out there.
Yeah.
When you had your house out there in that small town. And she too felt the undercurrent of energy there. And she felt the entities running amok. She's pretty aware and sensitive to that energy.
Right. Well, just speaking about those grids and when we awaken and how our awareness is and our sensory HSP, you know, it can become more heightened and come back online. But like especially those who are connected to the earth, and she was, like a lot of, I would say, of our friends and family are.
Yeah.
You are actually an acupuncture point. And it's, you're bringing source energy, not only to the planet of where we're at in any particular moment in time.
Yeah, when you're consciously aware of who you really are, the eternal self, the God self, the source light, the eternal light, right?
Right. We're actually bringing source light to ourselves as well.
Yeah.
So you can feel it.
Yeah.
You can sense that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to know that our mutual friend who was there with you also felt that undercurrent, the undulation. So we know...
Everyone and that we know in our life has actually, who has been there, has all felt it.
Okay.
And they felt drained.
Yeah.
Like they would leave and go back to their home, you know, a couple hours away and feel that heaviness. They'd have to sleep to reintegrate, to realign themselves, because they could feel it.
The world of forces.
Yeah. And what it was to a light body.
Absolutely, to your well-being, and yes, you betcha. Land demographic grids play a large part of people's journeys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was literally, Caitlin, and we talk about this all the time. It was literally an extraction for you from that timeline, from that grid structure, where the levels of interference were taking place, right, to prevent you from coming into your own self-actualization by getting over here into North Carolina. It was because this force, this level of malevolent energy, it doesn't want you to know that you're the eternal self, that you're the divine self, that that part of you that's looking out of your eyes when your eyes are closed is the real you, right? That's the part that's going to be leaving the body. But to get connected to that part, you know, that eternal self, and being able to see, feel, discern through the hidden deceptions playing out in the world of forces around you. I mean, we can write a book about that.
Yeah, we really could.
There really are no words to describe the energetic backlash and what you primarily, I mean, I just walked with you to support you to the best of my ability.
Right.
But watching you.
Which, thank you for that, yeah. You know, I was walking through it and understanding. I knew, gnosis in my heart, it was time to step into a new template here and build from here. And I knew I would regret it if I didn't make this choice.
To come.
Yeah.
And move to,
like,
North
part
Carolina.
Of that life review was looking back at the end of this timeline, yeah, in this life.
Yeah.
And it was another one of those moments, a divine moment, where I said yes, and I was going to figure out the rest. And yeah. I've since been back to two different times to Colorado now. I still can't go back to this small town. I'm not ready yet. You know, I'm actually honoring what I feel, being mindful. When one starts to uncover this and see what is really going on here, it's important to be very present with your decisions about where you go, how you engage in the world, who you engage with. We want discernment and present moment awareness. And sometimes you just have to say no. And that could be a whole other conversation. No is a complete sentence.
Instead of just running headlong into that cement wall.
Bulldozing.
Bulldozing. Yeah. Right.
You really
learned it.
I really learned this through this journey. Yeah. And I had other opportunities early on in my move to come back and visit.
To Colorado?
Yeah, to Colorado. Mm-hmm.
But not that small town?
Nope. Mm-hmm. No. Well, almost for the sale of my house, but I decided just to do it long distance, a virtual closing. But
it didn't make sense to you at the time?
It didn't make sense entirely, but as I walked through it, it was revealed to me. And when it was time, it was slow and steady. When I honor myself, even if I don't fully understand, the gift of more awareness is given. And going back both times was a huge mirror. I could see in yet a different way and feel the false timelines. The depth of my divine purpose and connection in my heart was missing.
Wow.
My whole life there, was it missing?
Yes. Yeah.
And it wasn't for lack of trying.
Right.
There are wonderful memories and adventures, and of course, people I love there. I'm so grateful. But I know I am home where I am now.
Mm-hmm. And how does that feel?
I mean, I can really feel the divine connection in my heart.
Yeah.
I live it. I breathe it. I think it. It is my life. It's
your real life.
Really understanding that it, you know, there, it's about the embodiment of God's source light here into my everyday life, into my physical, mental, emotional, spiritual body. And that just was not happening there. And it also shifted me out of that mental body. I have a really strong mental body.
Right.
And where I was like, knowledge is power. But I was like, I was also getting derailed by that.
Right. And never feeling safe.
No. Oh.
Right?
Never. Just
always having that undulation that you felt on the grid in the small town was the same undulation coursing through your body, your nervous system.
And it pushed it pushed love away.
Yes, it did.
It pushed genuineness, kindness, love, because I never felt safe. I didn't trust anything or anyone. I'm just now actually experiencing that. Now that it took about 10 months to get anchored here. And to feel that now, that my autonomic nervous system isn't constantly in fight or flight mode. Because I didn't know anything else. I didn't know any different.
Well, as we were uncovering all of this, you would take a breath, you'd pause, you'd contemplate, you'd embody, you'd release. I'd watch you go through the segues of all of this, right? Mm-hmm. It's healing that hidden trauma, healing mm-hmm. that negative ego.
Yeah.
And understanding the bigger picture here of the agenda on the planet and coming into an acceptance of that. I'm watching you literally transform before my eyes. And, you know, it like it's your real self. Because there's peace and joy inside you, yeah. even though all of this is there. But it's like once you can look at the truth, once you can see and accept what is, and it takes time, we know that. Mm-hmm. But once you can allow yourself to step through this understanding and be at peace with it, I just, the pillars of light that open, right, mm-hmm. are it's the God self, the higher self. Okay, now you know why you were like you were, right? Mm-hmm. And you come full circle. You keep coming into these moments of completion and closing that door and bringing more pieces of yourself home.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Being here.
Being here. Yeah, just, well, thank you. I mean, sharing what you have, and I said this earlier in our conversation, really requires a great deal of courage and inner strength. And of course, really allowing yourself to be vulnerable when people you know that you love are going to be listening to this and other people, right? Other listeners. And I just really want to take this moment to just witness this in this moment with you here, Caitlin. I feel like it's just a very powerful moment.
Yeah.
To just take this in. Because once we know, once we see, feel so much more of how this game is being played down here, we also witness the interference within ourselves and the mind control patterns, but then we see it, you know, within others because it all starts to become visible. And this is where you have to really want to be present in the moment and continue on the journey because this is not easy.
No.
It's challenging. It's challenging to witness. It's challenging to accept that other people can be used against you.
Yeah.
Or that you can be used against others, weaponized. Yeah.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So there's a lot of other levels and layers here, but I don't really have a word for how I feel except incredibly, what's the word? Do you have a word? Just emotional. That's the word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a divine moment.
It is a divine moment.
Because there's a lot of junction points, I guess, all coming together.
Yeah.
In the light.
In the light.
This is a big, big moment where we are right now from our journey and what you've walked through.
Yeah.
It's like a trajectory change.
It is.
In a sense.
Yeah, we can feel it right here as we're talking, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and are an anchoring in more of being home here yeah. in my own body, in my own being.
Yeah.
Integrating. Like,
that's
it's been
the
a
word,
lot of integration mm-hmm. happening, but it's deeper
yeah.
as we share this again after walking through it. In its raw forms. Yeah.
Well done, Caitlin.
Yeah. Like you were saying, yes, not only is it us being interfered with or manipulated, but other people, they can be portaled where another entity or spirit goes in and uses them like they're hosted.
One day. Or,
yeah, they're either completely inside of them and you know when you look through their eyes, they're like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Or they'll kind of hook, you know, attach onto them. But I watched people my whole life be portaled. And during the move, I watched the World of Forces or Team Dark show up. Not only for me, but they showed up for anyone who is assisting me in this process, such as yourself.
Yes, I can attest to that.
These forces have one job, to destroy and harvest our God-given life force energy from us, to divide us. When they target a person and can't succeed, it will boomerang to those around us, especially the ones we love. I also learned further about self-mastery of my own energies. Because I was transmuting such darkness, negativity, miasma, I couldn't camp out there because I would harm those I would interact with, because the dark was right there.
Yeah. I mean, the energetic backlash mm-hmm. experienced through that extraction from that mm-hmm. land demographic and having you, you know, come on over here into these grids. Yeah, like I said, we could write a book. Many chapters.
Yeah, it feels complete.
It does.
Like that journey.
You feel that. I feel that yeah. in this moment too for you. I mean, I'm really witnessing this with you.
Yeah.
Wow. Really, really amazing.
Yeah, there is so much information and healing from my regression work. And as I continue forward and integrate these experiences and the reclamation of my energy, genetics, consciousness more, information continues to be revealed. And how the stars or the dots connect themselves. I became aware, maybe we can touch on the sure. alien love bite yeah. for a second, you know, because sure. that's also an incredible phenomenon within itself. I had an alien love bite back in 2018, 2019. And that's when I became aware of it, actually, while mm-hmm. I was in this relationship.
Right, right.
I mean, I was about 30, 31 years old. So I had already begun going down that rabbit hole. This was the relationship that I discussed in part one. And I became aware there was the possibility of this playing out.
How old were you then at that time?
Yeah, 30 or 31.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And looking back now, it was. And
uh-huh.
like really within the last month, did this really come back to me? But
right.
you know, at the time I didn't want to admit it, nor was I ready or willing to see this. What really came together for me was realizing we were trauma bonded, and that's what came into my awareness. And we were trauma bonded at a very young age. I would use the words wounds, like we were like the vibrational match of wounds, but that
wounded people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I didn't know it started from when we were little. You know, like for example, right. how this played out, our lives paralleled each other. We always mm-hmm. lived 1 to 2 hours away from each other, not only growing up, but in college, and even when we were both living overseas, and we happened to actually live in the same country. This happened until we met in person, which was 1 year after my dad passed away. This trauma was leveraged to the point it was beyond organic repair. And now I just, when I reflect back on that relationship and this beautiful soul, when I make my prayers and he comes into my awareness, I send him love from my higher self to his. You know, I'm so grateful for the deeper dive and poking holes through the nets, per se. It's hard, but I will reiterate, it is so worth it because of the healing that is experienced.
Yes, it's very freeing.
Yeah. Asking for help from God's source and staying in the present moment, which is where our power lives, helped me stay grounded. It was really critical through all of this as the memories start to come in, even from the very point where I started to just journal about things that I had already remembered before yeah. we even went into the regression. These revelations and realizing the degree to which we are living face to face with these world of forces. My gosh, one can get lost, and people do. We have witnessed loved ones get lost
That's right.
with these types of discoveries. And going into these regressions with careful consideration is essential, as those forces are always right there along the way.
Well said, Caitlin.
You know, I think when we start to wake up, you think everything is, you know, terrible or awful, or like, what's happening to me? What's wrong with me? when realize you're actually, you're bringing that light to a space where they once consumed it. And there's still this myth where people think, oh, if I just stay asleep or stay here, they'll just leave me alone. No, they just have full control of you where you are. Whereas when you start to command your space, you then feel that resistance. Right. But it's also to stop you.
When you really start to do that inner work.
Yeah, to stop. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't reclaim your full consciousness, your highest expression, your power.
Right, yeah. Right.
Because they will just dump all their energetic stuff on us to process for them. Because they are not of God's source. They are not of love and light. But we are.
But reclaiming hence, our divinity.
Hence why in the negative alien agenda, they covet us humans.
Yeah.
Because of our divine connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we touched on in the beginning, that alien negative alien agenda, one can have all of these experiences, memories, and it doesn't matter if one is not grounded here. We constantly see this in the spiritual communities. Those who don't even truly know where or who they are, which is a self-sovereign being, the eternal self, here for a short time in these bodies. Being grounded is essential. It's just, you know, the 3D life of getting gas, going to work, grocery shopping, paying bills, you know, it's still required here. Or at least to survive. Boots on the ground, as you say, Terry. And really is a way to navigate these worlds of forces. You know, and at the same time, understanding there is a divine plan working and unfolding always. I really had to get out of my own way on this one. It's not easy to take the rose-colored glasses off. I was attached to them for a while. You know, taking the Band-Aid off. I pray that everyone can find a safe person like I have. And for you all to become a safe person yourself, I pray every day to continue to be a safe person. This is my desire. And again, this is such a big topic. This is worlds within worlds. And please take only what resonates and is supportive to you.
Yeah. Yeah. My, this is... Wow. My word. This is huge. Wonderful conversation. Many layers and many levels of clearing and rebalancing and completion that are taking place here today as you're sharing. So we're coming to a close now, but final words of wisdom, Caitlin. Final words of wisdom.
Gosh. Big question. I can't imagine a benevolent being interfering in such a way to manipulate genetics through hybridization breeding programs or alien love bite scenarios. Malevolent, yes. Benevolent beings, in my experience and journey, does not interfere. Free will. We have the power within ourselves to do what we need to do and live our lives. You know, I would say get out of your head and into your heart. Anchor into your body. It's where healing happens. And it's where the healing holds, too.
Yes.
Remembering our divine self, looking within.
Looking within and not looking without.
Yes.
Changing the focus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And from my experiences, I can't emphasize this enough of malevolent and benevolent. Benevolence respond to our whole heart, to a higher vibration, and they will never superimpose. They will never interfere. They have to be invited into your life, and you have to do the inner work to earn the trust. Even then, you will be tested. And I would just say slow and steady, boots on the ground, as you say. I love that saying. Truth, understanding, it will reveal itself to you. You know, stay in your heart, use discernment, stay away from magical thinking or hopium, stay out of creating false narratives and storylines that happens through this process too. Take 100% responsibility for yourself, for your life. See through the matrix of deception, of blindness, and know you are here to do so.
Yeah. Well, well said, Caitlin. We must for sure develop greater discernment about what is actually going on here on planet Earth. The biggest distraction and disconnect is not knowing who we really are as the eternal being, first and foremost, as one with God's source, a spark, a cell, a source of the divine light. And the world of forces operating, this intelligence does not want you to know that you are the eternal self. This intelligence does not want you to connect to your soul intelligence. You are not your pain. You are not the negative ego. You are this divine expression of source light, gifted life through the out-breath of God's source, remembering who you are, standing in your power when confronted with expressions of experience that we've talked about today, because I know there are many of you out there who have had experiences such as this. Remember who you are. Be fearless in facing the truth. Slow and steady you go as you uncover and discover this nature of reality that we find ourselves living within on a third dimensional planet. Remember who you are.
Remember who you are. I am endeavoring to do just that.
Me too. Well said. Well done. Well, everybody, I know this, my goodness, was a lot to share. And again, I know Caitlin and I both say, just please take in what truly resonates with you. And we want to thank everyone for listening today. And please know that we're both sending you a lot of love and many blessings.
Many blessings.
Thank you, and bye for now.